You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mr. Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, and it takes great pleasure for me to announce that the Cubs have a terrible farm system.
Yeah, but that's because they're all up at the major league level. Majors, yeah.
And they all hit, so they all hit, and they're all in the big leagues, but let me get my small victories. I'm going to take them when I can.
We are talking about the Chicago Cubs farm system today. Before we get started on it, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So, Matt, go ahead and dig in. Who are the top prospects for the Cubs?
Well, the top prospect is Jose Albertos for me. And it's all upside here. 43 innings in low A, 48 strikeouts, 17 walks, 1.09 whip, which is exciting. 93 to 94 with the fastball, 97 is what he gets it up to. Breaking ball and command are obviously behind the fastball. He's 19 years old. He signed him for $1.5 million out of Mexico. Cubs do a very nice job of mining Mexican talent. Them and the Dodgers, really the only two that are significantly active in the Mexico thing. And it's an advantage here, right? Because I'm not going to do the math on $1.5 million, but say they signed Albertos for $2 million, right? Only $1 million of that would count toward their bonus pool because exactly half of that money goes to the Mexican team. So you get slight discounts on guys as far as that goes for the Mexican league. It's kind of shady, but you know that's how it goes. The international system for major leagues is so fucked up how players enter the league. There needs to be one way to do it. Either make everybody a free agent or everyone goes in the draft. There's so many, you know, pass to the majors, and you can sign Dominican kids at 15, but you can't sign American kids till they're 18, 19. You know what I mean? It's not the same sort of thing. But ends that little rant. I like Albertos. I think he's the top guy in the system. Right over, Adbert Alzolay is another pitcher. He actually did reach double A. He's kind of the breakout guy for the Cubs in the system. 114 innings, 108 strikeouts, good whip again, good command for, you know, being 22. 93-95, touches 96. He's starting to utilize the lower half more in the mechanics, and I think he's ultimately a mid-rotation arm. He's kind of a high-floor guy more than he is ultimately high-ceiling. But Alzolay, and he could also factor into the late-inning relief, but the Cubs don't, you know, they have – they'll sign some more pitchers between now and then, so the rotation openings won't be there. Oscar De La Cruz is another arm, 54 innings pitch, 47 strikeouts. You know, the whip was 1.2, a little bit higher than the other guys, but he's got a big build, 6'4", 200 pounds. Throws hard, 92-95, touches 96 with some movement. He's got feel on the changeup, but the changeup needs to take another step forward. He can't throw it, but it's pretty terrible right now. Above-average curveball to go with the fastball. Probably another mid-rotation guy or a reliever. He's had some health question marks. Had an elbow injury, a pec injury. So it's a little bit, you know, of a health risk for a mid-rotation starter. So he's probably not going to be owned unless your league is about 150 to 200 prospects deep. Victor Caratini is a catching prospect. He put up really, really good numbers in AAA. 342, 393, 558 in Iowa for the PCL. 10 homers, 61 RBIs, and he stole a bag. Former Braves catcher, if you remember that. He was a former Brave. Hitting for a little bit more power, and I think he's going to grow into more power also. But the problem is Wilson Contreras is there, and Contreras is pretty good. So I think he's a switch hitter. Caratini is a switch hitter as well. So I just think ultimately, he's probably like a guy like Jaime Candelario gets traded. He can become a starting catcher somewhere else. It's just not going to happen with the Cubs. Here's a trio of college arms. They took Thomas Hatch in the third round in 2016, was their top pick. He's had a UCL injury. He's one of the weird people that did not do Tommy John. He did the platelet injections back in 2015, and he's been good. 124 innings, 126 strikeouts. He walks too many guys. Consistently throwing strikes is the downfall for Hatch. Sinker slider, though, it's a crazy ground ball rate that he had at Oklahoma State. Mid-90s fastball with good sink and a good changeup to go with that sinker and slider. I think he's a middle reliever, though, in the long term, just because he doesn't have the stuff to be a starter, in my opinion, just because he's going to be – the ground balls are at such a high rate, I think he's going to be turn into a specialist out of the bullpen. They drafted two college arms in the first round last year, Brendan Little at pick 27, or Alex Lang at 27, I'm sorry, and Brendan Little was at like 25 or something like that. They had a couple close picks next to each other. We'll start off with Alex Lang. Lang was the guy that people probably know more because he pitched at LSU, so he's more in, you know, College World Series and stuff like that. He pitched really, really nice curveball. Mid-90s fastball to set it up, a really good curveball. Mid-rotation arm, though, because that's probably all he really has. And he signed a deal with the Cubs that was reported right after signing. The deal was voided due to a medical issue. Then he ended up signing with the Cubs again, so obviously that's something to watch. With the Cubs, he only threw 9 innings because he had a heavy workload in the College World Series for LSU. But the fact that he did throw any innings kind of tells me the health issues weren't that, you know, significant. So he's a guy to watch this year. Should be a big year for Alex Lang. You look at a debut for probably 2019 for him. Brendan Little is the higher upside of the college arms. But he came from, are you ready for this powerhouse school? Mm-hmm. State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota.
Oh, the Fighting Beavers.
Yeah.
I made that up.
Yeah, I know you did. 97 miles an hour from the left side with the fastball. He can touch it. He sits in the mid-90s, which is still nice. Above average curveball. It's one of the 12-6 varieties, and a changeup that's not really good. If he doesn't develop that changeup, Little is a dominant late-inning reliever. But I think he ultimately can. I think he can become a high strikeout number three starter. He's going to walk enough guys. But Brendan Little is a nice guy to follow. You want a deep sleeper in fantasy baseball prospect list, look no further than Nelson Velazquez. He's an outfielder, played in rookie ball, 18 years old, 236, 333, 536, with 8 homers and 5 stolen bases in rookie league. Now, obviously, he has the issues making contact. That's not, you know, that's something. But the very real power that's already played up, had a 300 ISO in rookie ball, really good bat speed kind of guy. I don't know if he can hit enough for average, but he's got significant power. So Nelson Velazquez is a guy to take a flyer on. And Vladimir Galindo is also another guy, 290, 350, 432, 4 homers and a stolen base in a monstrously injury-riddled career, above-average pop, hits a lot of balls in the air. So I think he's a guy that can be a nice home run source because of the batted ball tendency and the batted ball profile. Looking for a big 2018 for him if he can stay healthy. So keeping track of him for a high upside power guy. DJ Wilson's a guy that I like, future leadoff hitter with some pop, 236, 318, 453, 12 homers and 16 stolen bases. Kind of a five-tool guy, but in the sense that they're going to be a bit muted because I think he's got elite bat-to-ball skills, but he hits so many fly balls that he's never really going to be a high average hitter. You know, ground ball guys tend to have more of a higher BABIP than anything else. Fly ball guys don't. I think that's the problem. He also had a slew of injuries, missed 6 weeks. But he had a decent slugging percentage for a leadoff hitter type. He's a small dude. Mark Zagunas was up a little bit this year. 267, 404, 455 was his line in Iowa. 267, 404, 455. So he can obviously take a walk. It's an on-base machine. he kind of raises the prospect debate on how long of a leash does an elite walk rate get you? It's a plus-plus plate approach, which we've kind of already – I've already touched on that. I think he could be the lazy comp as a Nick Markakis type. And I think – I don't know if the power is going to play that high for one of his Baltimore days. But he's going to be a high doubles and high walk rate guy just because he hits the ball on the ground too much with his batted ball profile. So he's not going to be a big homer guy, which – I don't even know if he's going to hit 20-plus home runs or not. That's just kind of where I'm at with the power. But I think a guy with that kind of walk rate is always going to have a useful career. So he's an interesting guy to track. If you're an NL only, you can take a shot this year because I think he comes up if someone goes down. Jeremiah Estrada is an arm I like. He got a sixth-round pick that got $1 million. You don't see that very often. The upside is ridiculous. Velocity reports were down from the mid-90s to the low-90s a little bit, so they're worried about the heavy workload in high school. Two-plus pitches down the line and with the changeup. Curveball and the slider fall a little bit behind them right now, but it's a big year for Jeremiah Estrada next year. I think he could do big things. Keegan Thompson's a college arm. I think he's a back-end starter, low-90s fastball, high-80s sinker. Throws a lot of strikes, has a changeup and a developing breaking ball. Probably mid-rotation arm with the back-end fallback. A lot of people think he's a reliever. I think he could start. I like the build. So he's the guy to follow. David Boat, who I'm not going to call this dude out by name, but some analysts call him the next Brian Dozier, which is an absolute obscene statement because they watched him in the fall league.
Whoa.
If he was going to be the next Brian Dozier, I would have mentioned him in the first 2 minutes of the podcast, not the 10 to 12 minute mark, wherever we're at right now. Mm-hmm. He's a utility player through and through, but he's a high contact utility player that's going to have value in NL only because I think he can play a lot of positions, just none of them very well. He's a first base. He spent some time at first, second, and in the outfield. 272, 353, 438, 14 homers and 5 stolen bases. Plus plate approach. Obviously you can tell by the 353 OBP with the 272 average. And he has really good contact ability, but the game power doesn't show up yet and really never will. He's a line drive hitter. I give you that. He hits a lot of line drives, and it's easy to dream on a profile like this. I just think projecting him in that kind of role is – no. You can't watch someone for a week and a half in the fall league and then decide he's the next Brian Dozier. It doesn't work like that. Eddie Martinez, Cuban outfielder that signed for $3 million a couple years back. They stole him from the Giants, came in real late and outbid the Giants toward the end there. But what he did, 14 homers and 6 stolen bases, 244, 297, 366, only 6% walk rate, 83% contact rate despite a 244 average. So that's obviously sums up with the better ball profile there. Plus tool, the only plus tool he really has is the arm. He's got the prototypical right field profile. The power grades out as average. The hit tool is probably a little bit below. I think he can run a little bit too. He could be a 20-homer corner outfield type, 20-homer 250 hitter. I don't know how much value that carries, and I don't think that plays up on a team like the Cubs. Dwayne Underwood is a guy that's 92-95 with a sinker that can top out at 98, has a slider, good cutter, curveball, changeup. No control or no command. Doesn't get strikeouts with it. It's nasty stuff either. It's a weird profile for me. I'm befuddled every time I watch them. And Jenho Tsang and Trevor Clifton are two back-end starters that should be up this year. Tsang was up last year for a brief stint. Clifton kind of had he went backwards a little bit for the Cubs in Double-A this year. Followed up a 270 ERA in High-A with a 520 in Double-A. Command, strikeouts dropped, walks went up. So it's something going on with the profile there. Mechanically, he looked a little bit out of sync, so hopefully he gets that back. And Dylan Maples is a potential high-leverage relief arm. 15.5 Ks per nine in stints last year in the minor leagues, throughout AAA, AA, and even just brief sample in the majors. Nasty arm, was a high dollar signing, 14th round pick out of North Carolina. So in 2011, so he's been around a while. So he's got to follow. And Justin Steele is a nice back end lefty. I think he could be a mid rotation. I keep saying back end, mid rotation lefty starter that throws a lot of strikes and throws in the low to mid 90s. But there's a lot of usable pieces here. As far as a lot of back-end mid-rotation starters and a couple, high OBP outfielders and OBP catcher, just none of them have those plus skills. They're blocked by superior players, and it's a good system as far as it's probably going to produce a lot of major leaguers, but it's also a bad system in the sense that there's not a lot of high upside guys left because they're already in the majors. So I think as far as a fantasy system is going to go, it's going to fall in the bottom five, and that makes me so excited to finally say that. But then again,
their major league average age is like 24.
Right. And they still, you know, we talked about all these prospects and stuff. They still can't find – he gets everyday at-bats, but they still can't find everyday roles for guys like Kyle Schwarber, guys like Javi Baez. Still don't have they get enough at-bats like everyday players, but they don't have –
all those guys are cost control for a while.
Right. And I can't believe that I forgot Aramis Adaman. He's probably their top position player prospect. He's in the low minors, shortstop, really good contact ability, 7 home runs and 14 stolen bases across 2 A-ball levels. Probably going to repeat the Midwest League to start the year. He's similar to Isaac Paredes, who we talked about in the Detroit system. And I don't want to say he's similar to Dansby Swanson because he's not as polished, but that's kind of the skill set we have, above average at everything plus at nothing. So it's a way better real-life asset than fantasy asset. But a guy like this on the Cubs, probably not going to play too much. 5'11", 160, left-handed swinger, 19 years old. So the frame is obviously not conducive to a lot of power. I think he could be average on the power, like I touched on. All the skills would be average, but I don't even know if an average hit tool, average power, average glove shortstop is good enough to make this roster. And you know what I mean? Because Edison Russell is a below-average hit tool, probably above-average power, and he's a superior glove. So I'd rather have that player. You know what I mean? So I don't know. He's a guy to like. He's a guy to track. He's probably my favorite position player in this system. But he's miles away being in low A, so it'll be a while, but yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap us up. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.